We have the very distinctive privilege, and I'm sure blessed and thankful, to have our First Lady with us this morning, Mrs. Victor Paul Wirbel. So let's welcome her.
Thank you very much. First, I want to express my gratitude and thanks to Craig, Reverend Martindale, for allowing me this privilege of teaching here to you wonderful people this morning. And we have certainly been blessed with the fellowships that we have had the last few Sundays, just talking about the last few weeks even, and the Sunday nights that the teachings have stirred us to a more worthy endeavor. The first of the series that he taught was to control your thinking to win. That's what it's all about. We're winners. We want to show that. And secondly, godly images of victory. And then last Sunday, remember God's word, forget the past. Did you notice the song that was playing before the meeting began? Oh, I had it played over and over and over. Anybody remember what it was? There's somebody. Yeah, right. Forget the yesterdays. Last evening's program was certainly wonderful here at the Way headquarters with an evening with the household right here, and then another meeting going on at the BRC with the Doulos dudes. And how wonderful it's all been geared to our enjoyment, and also as well as to adding to our reminders maybe of what we have and who we are, and just all those wonderful things and how to use what we have. I'm sure that the Doulos dudes learned a lot there with their topic that they had. And I talked with Kevin a little bit this morning about what you did last night. And the one great thing, and you are really so wonderfully putting yourself in a position to grow by leaps and bounds. And this program last night must have been really lifting up. How much more you know about life than other people do, your age especially. And that speaking in tongues is wonderful, right? But it's only one manifestation of which there are nine. And I think you must have been really blessed from what you learned last night about revelation and impartation. So I want to congratulate you for being here. And now we're here, March the 5th, 1989. Excuse me, 1959 is long gone. At 10:30 in this morning fellowship. And God is here because you're here, because it's God in Christ in you. So we're here to continue in fellowship, which is renewed mind to the Word. That's the only way we have fellowship with God. And we were taught that in my twig again in the last week or two, that is what fellowship is. It's renewing the mind to the Word, and then we have the fellowship with God. And in Volume 2 of Studies in Abundant Living, Dr. Wirbel states that the principal key in a successful Christian life is fellowship with the Heavenly Father. And I believe that's what we're interested in. And I don't believe that I could have a better audience than you that I have here this morning. I'm just so blessed to see so many of you here. And I will do my best, I promise you. And this morning I want to direct our thoughts and attention to walking in light or in darkness. And I'll be illustrating this with a couple of Orientalisms as examples. But let's first set in our minds who is the most important person in your life. Anybody want to volunteer? A person. God is spirit. Who is the most important person? Pardon? In your life.
Me.
Agnes, you're right. What are we here for? We're here so that we're responsible for ourselves. We're the most important person. You're the most important person. Whatever you do, you work out your own salvation, it says, right? Let's read that in Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And here it is. Work out your neighbor's salvation, the one next to you, the one you're working with. All right, it says, work out your own salvation, your own day-by-day walk with reverence and obedience. So we got that squared away. What are you here for? You can only change yourself, remember? You're not, you ladies aren't going to change your husband. Maybe some of you have already found that out. And you husbands aren't going to change your wives. You're only going to change yourself. And in the renewed mind camps, we many times heard, you're not going to make anybody angry, or nobody's going to make you angry, but you're going to let yourself get angry. So, you know, we have no one else to blame for what happens in our lives. We control our own life with the help of God, and that's what we want to know about, right? We know what want to know what God has done for us. And I'd like to turn to Isaiah 50 and verse 11. And this is one of the Orientalisms that I want to read. Isaiah 50, verse 11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Is this explained in the verse where it's written? You have to understand the Oriental meaning behind this verse. And it's you can understand it. And when I explain it to you, now you'll all understand it. Okay. We remember in the Orient, and we all as well saw this in India, that they have a village commons where they built the fire every morning, you know, before the farmers would go out to work, especially on cold mornings, of course. And they would all meet there, and everybody that came to warm their hands would have to contribute something to the fire. And so they'd warm themselves around that fire, and then they'd go to their fields, because they all lived in the villages, and the farmers lived together there. But then they'd, in the morning early, maybe before dark, before light, when it was still dark, they'd walk out to their fields and go to work. But in the dark, they'd all have a little rope, a kind of a rope that didn't burn, but it would just spark. And so they would walk along and go to the field, and they'd have these sparks, you know, flying in front of them, and they would, by those sparks, find their path. And it says, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks. Now you understand that far, okay? And you walk in the light of that fire, in the sparks that ye have kindled. But this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. They walk in their own sparks that they have kindled, And the reason they're going to lie down in sorrow, because they're wearing sandals. And there are all kinds of stickers along the path. And they can't see enough from those sparks to avoid stepping in those stickers. And these stickers are like fish hooks, and they get into their feet. And then you know what a fish hook is like. You can't pull it out, right? You tear the skin, or you have to cut it out, and then you have a sore, you see. That's going to mean sorrow. Or you have to wait and let it fester out. So none of those cures are very good, are they? Not very pleasant. And so, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Now, does that verse mean any more to you? It really explains itself right in that verse, but you have to understand the Orientalism to understand it. And so we want to live in the light of God's Word. We don't want to walk in this darkness, in this guesswork of the sparks, seeing where we want to walk. But God is Spirit, and you're in control of yourself. And so we walk in the light of God. The self-improvement that the world has to offer doesn't help us too much. How about, does the world teach us the love of God? Does it teach you to love yourself and your neighbor? Does this come from the world's teaching that God delights in mercy and loving kindness? Or 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not the love of God in manifestation, in the renewed mind, it profits me nothing. Or let's turn to Isaiah 48:17. That's real close there, right in the neighborhood. 17, the latter part of the verse, what we know from God's Word. I am, the last part of the verse, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. So it's God that wants us to profit. And do we want to profit? Okay, we've made that decision. And we want to keep in mind that walking in the light of God's Word, and this is of God's Word, that we profit, that we have the love of God and the mercy, that God delights in mercy and loving kindness, and that we do everything with the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. And remember who you are, that you're bought with a price in the first place, and that's why you're eligible for all these profits that God wants you to have. You know, we can turn to Ephesians, and I'm going to whisper to Ed here. Be to the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing given by the Holy Spirit, blessing in the heavenly realm, even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach, before him in love. So, did you all hear what I was whispering to Ed? So it's all hearsay, right? It's all hearsay until you read it yourself. And how much do we go by hearsay? I'll read it to you, and you can follow in King James, but I have the Amplified Version. Can you get too amplified in God's Word? Can you get too big? No. So I'll read this to you all. May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm given by the Holy Spirit, even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach, before him in love. For he foreordained us, destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted, revealed as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him and was his kind intent, so that we might be to the praise and the commendation of his glorious grace, favor, and mercy, which he so freely bestowed on us in the beloved. And then we can read on and on of what we already have. And Ephesians chapter 1 is one chapter we refer to if we get down and think how we're nothing, you know. Then we believe what Ephesians 1 says. We just turn to that chapter and there we got it. How much we already have, it's not too good to be true. But we don't want to get things by hearsay. That doesn't amount to, you got to make it your own or else it will not benefit you. So God has blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ. When? When were you chosen? Right. So let's check it out and make it our own. And we will tell what God has done for us. And in order to understand the next Orientalism that I want to turn to is in Psalm 20, verse 5. But I want to first turn to Numbers 35, verse 6. And it says, among the cities which he shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither. And then from there we want to go to Psalm 20. And these Orientalisms have to be understood from the Oriental customs and traditions. And verse 5 of Psalm 20, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. If you want to change that word banners to canopy, you'll have it correct. How many know this Orientalism? Some of you do. Good. It's a wonderful. All of these Orientalisms just thrilled me. I don't know which one was the most thrilling of all that Bishop ever taught us, but we'll look at this particular verse, which again interprets itself right where it is. And we will rejoice in thy salvation. When we think about the revenging of blood that we have heard about in the Old Testament times, that if a person from one family killed a person, whether by accident or willfully, that blood had to be revenged. And so the person, any person from the family of which the person was killed in that family, they had the right to kill the person from another family of the killer. And so that they could do one of three things. And the first one would be if you'd meet up with the opposite family, the one that was revenging the blood, if you'd meet up with that person, then you could maybe run faster than the person that was after you to kill you. The second way would be that you would throw up your hands and you plead in some respected name, and that way the person might spare your life. Or the third way would be to run to a city of refuge, and there you could live safely. And that's what the cities of refuge were all about. And so it says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. So that if the one way where you'd plead the name of a respected person, if that name meant enough to the other person to spare your life, that would not be the end of things. But the person whose life was saved would find that person whose name he pleaded in. And they would arrange a day when they could all get together. He, with his friends in his hometown, would call all the people together at a certain time. And then the name of the respected person that he had pleaded in, that person would be at that gathering. It would be all for him. The whole thing would be to praise that name, the person who had spared his life. And so they would have this canopy, which was a piece of canvas over four posters that they would carry, four people would carry, and they'd put that respected person under that canopy, and they would appear before the whole town, before all the people, the friends, the neighbors, the family from all over, would get together, and then the person whose life was saved, this person would stand, and he would holler so all the people would say, this person spared my life. It was his wonderful name that saved me. And he did it all, you know, just like at the basketball game the other night. You know, the cheerleaders led everybody to cheer for their team, right? And so they would cheer for this person that had spared their life. And would just be a wonderful day of celebrating that wonderful person that had spared their life. So, now who is it that has spared our life? Jesus Christ, right? It's His name that we shout out, that we respect, that we tell everybody what He has done for us. We not only tell, we live like it, right? When we learn these truths, we live like it. You know, God's family has not all been gathered in, or we wouldn't be here today. We're still here because God's household isn't filled yet, right? And so as long as that we have breath, we will tell that name, and we'll just demonstrate God's word in our walk and in our talk and say it loud. I'm proud. That was one of the yells at the tournament game. And certainly we will say it loud and we will say it proud, knowing what's behind that wonderful name, especially at this time of the year when we have all read Jesus Christ, our Passover, and we've thought so much again about what He suffered and how He died and how His image was not even recognized anymore like a person. We think about that, and we think about what we have been spared, that He bore it for us, and that He paid the price with His life for us, and also for everyone that's in the household. And we just can joy and rejoice together, knowing that we will have fellowship one with another for the rest of our days. And let's show it too. One practical thing we can do that I don't see carried out all the time, and that is when we sit together like this. And have you said anything to your neighbor this morning? Or do we just sit down, maybe leave a seat between, and don't even talk to each other? So, you know, this is one thing that we should be cognizant of, that we do this. We show our love. We show our appreciation and love for one another in the family, because God has made this all available in boundless supply. So we'll just live that way from now on. never the same day after day, but greater every day. God bless you.